Renee is the wife of Dirk-Jan, and they pastor the church in Utrecht. And they have three sons, as Nigel told us last night, and two of them are in South Africa, and one of them's over here in the UK with his family. And I've gotten to know Renee over the years of Planted, and she's come to preach in the UK. I've unfortunately not been to Utrecht yet, but I would love to come. Before Planted next year, definitely. I'd love to come and visit you. I'm sure for those of you who know Renee will know that she has a very real and genuine relationship with the Lord, and she's able to beautifully encapsulate this when she preaches. She also exudes a confidence that says, I know who my Father is.
Amen.
Amen. And she knows that her Father is going to come through for her, that he's not going to leave her short. And I'm sure when you speak to her, you also notice the joy of the Lord bursting forth from her. And when she loves and delights over you, it feels like it's your own mother before you. And Renee also has an incredible sense of humor. She likes to use the words like meatbox to describe your body. And she also likes to say, it's super cool. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Renee up here this evening. We just pray for God's blessing and honor upon you this evening as you share your word with us. And I just want to quickly just pray for you, if that's okay. Father God, thank you so much for Renee, Lord. Thank you for her heart that speaks of your heart, Father God. I pray that you would just give her the words to share this evening, Father God, and just block out anything that's not of or from you, Father. We thank you, God, that your daughter here is faithful to you and faithful to your message, God. And we just want to open our hearts to receive that message, God. I pray that our hearts would be fertile ground this evening to receive those seeds. And we pray, Father God, that a multitude would be harvested from those seeds. We ask this now in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Can I give water here? Okay, like this? Okay. Can you okay? I was contemplating, must I wear my glasses or not? So if you see me staring at the paper, you know the problem. but what a privilege to be here. It's such an honor to work in God's kingdom. It's such a privilege to be part of a church that's God's church. And I've said it so many times before, so many people of you know it, when God told me and Dirk-Jan that we need to go to Utrecht, and he said to me, I need to make a Facebook, and I was never on Facebook, so I had no clue what it was, and I not rented, but I used someone to make a page, and then I said, okay, Lord, I hear they put stuff on it, what must I put on it? And then he says, Renee, it's not your church, it's my church. And what a privilege to be in his church. It's beautiful, it's awesome, and that he doesn't kick us out when we often miss it and we're not in line. As you've heard, this weekend is going about Zechariah. And when Hercules... It sounds very loud. When Hercules said to me, me and Dirk-Jan will have a slot to preach, I went to God and I said, okay, Lord, you know who's going to be here. You know your people. What would you like to share? And he said, Zechariah 2-4. So I first had to look it up. Where is Zechariah? I know more or less, but not exactly. And then I read 2-4 and I said, okay, I don't think I get it, but... what would you like me to say about this? And then he says, read it again. Okay, so that went on for a few days. And every morning, hopefully, I woke up with hope. Lord, today I will get this. And I prayed, Lord, open my eyes, open my understanding, give me the revelation. He says, just read it, and I read it again. And so this went on for a week, so it was a true struggle. I really didn't get it in the beginning, but then, when you get it, it is so beautiful and so awesome. So I hope it's the same with you. I know you didn't struggle so much as me, but that you will really experience this as a gift from God, what he wants to give us in these few chapters. Just a little background about Zechariah. Many of us have spoken now about him, and I remember that Heinrich also had, I think it was small group things and other things that was about Zerubbabel and Zechariah. So by now, most of us know the name. There is a man like Zechariah. He was a small prophet. Why do we say small? Yeah, his book is larger than Haggai, the one before him. But there are a few together that's what we call the small prophets. He overlapped 1 month with Haggai. We don't know why Haggai stopped. But Zechariah was in the lineage of David. So he had he was in the kingly lineage. He was not a king because Judah was in captivity in Persia, in Babylon, and Darius was the king there. But then they said, okay, Zechariah can be a governor of Judah. But for us and for this piece, we must understand that he was actually, he was a king. He was supposed to be a king. Zechariah means God remembers. It is so beautiful. God will always remember us. As he remembered Zechariah in every tough season, God remembers. You are not lost. You are not. Yes, you think you're lost, but you know God knows where you are. He knows what your battles are. So, he was a priest and a prophet. And in that season, many people returned from Babylon, but Jerusalem was not so fertile as Babylon. There was not so much trade, so lots of people wanted to stay there. It was actually a better place, soulishly, earthly, I don't know how we would say. So most people who came, two out of every 15 people were priests who came back. So it was more that they want to rebuild this spiritual capital again. Those who really had a connection with God or honored him and his commandments, they had more the feeling of coming back. And then the last little thing is that was interesting to me is that in the year 2000 BC to 1500 BC, it was ruled by patriarchs. So it was Abram, Isaac, Jacob, those people. Okay, and then in 1500 to 1000 BC, it was prophets. The people were ruled by prophets. And then 1000 to 500, more or less, it was led by kings. You remember that they were sick and tired of the prophets and they wanted the king as the other nations around them. And then from 500 to 0, it was led by priests. There was, we learned that there was 400 years that there was no prophet. It must have been terrible. John the Baptist was the first prophet again after this desert area. And when Jesus came, the leaders was the priests, Annas and Caiaphas. So there was no prophet or king in those years. Okay, so that's a little background of Zechariah. And then God said, Zechariah 2:4, so are you ready? Okay, here we go. God highlighted some verses to me. And so we'll go just through them together. Zechariah 2, verse 4 to 5. And he said to the second angel, as Heinrich said this morning, Zechariah saw an angel. And the first one, he saw him measuring the new Jerusalem. Super, super, super cool. He saw him measuring the new Jerusalem. And then a second angel came and spoke to the first one. And the first one said, go, 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 go quickly and tell Zechariah this. And then he comes and he says, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited and dwell as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. This is awesome. There will not be walls anymore. Yes, they still needed to restore the temple. But that the new Jerusalem, this is the whole thing. I wanted to first share what it meant then and what it means to us today. But I'm going to combine it, if it's okay with you. That as God showed me all these promises, he wants to give it to us today. So we will not live in walled cities. And there will be multitude of people. For I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire. I love deliverance, to facilitate deliverance. And we often pray, Lord, we ask a wall of fire around us. And I thought, where did I actually get that from? But I think perhaps from Zechariah. So the Lord will protect us. So he will also protect our church, his bride, with fire. That's not nothing. And I will be the glory in the midst of her. Isn't that beautiful? We sang also now about this. And then I think, how would it feel if there's fire around us and God's glory in the midst? There's no darkness. There's absolutely no darkness. There's no fear. There's no attack. It is just a beautiful place. And that's what God has for us, for his church. And then we go to verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory had sent me, his messenger. I use the Amplified because it just clarifies a lot more that I do not have to say. Okay, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory had sent me, his messenger to the nations who plundered you. For he who touches you touches the apple of, or pupil of his eye. You know how precious we are. The pupil of his eye. That is the most sensitive part of our body. Even dust irritates it. You know that is truly a special part. So don't mess with my pupil. Okay. Then verse 11. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of you, and you shall know and recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you. It was always very, it was very scary to be a prophet in that times. Because if you said something and it didn't come out, they would stone you. No? So if you missed it, you will not miss it again. You're dead. So every time when he repeats this, Zechariah says, then you will know, that this is the truth. I think he was also a little scared to share this. But, and many nations. So this is so beautiful that we are here. We are many nations. And God wants even more nations to join in, into his people, into his bride. And this is a promise. And he tells us, this is going to happen, guys. Are you ready? Are you ready for other cultures? Are you ready for other nations? When we moved to the Netherlands, I prayed and I said, Lord, help me to not offend people because we have different cultures. So sometimes I see things different because of my upbringing and the way I think and the way I'm used to than other people. And I've seen it in our church. We have people from Asia. We have people from Singapore, from India, from Africa, from the US and us. And then, yeah, sometimes someone says, whoa, your people dress too informal. You must please speak to them. Then others think, oh, this is such a conservative guy. And I realize what we have heard this weekend, it must be Christ-like. What is God's culture? Because otherwise we will always struggle. We will always think, oh man, that guy is over the top, or man, just be okay. For instance, in South Africa, it was common to know that God respects that you do not have sex before marriage. And I realized in the Netherlands, it's not. Even if you're a Christian, it's okay. Caroline was so nice to make, to keep me updated. No, not at all. You know the culture. You're Dutch, so you know the culture. And then I realized that what I thought is normal is not normal. We have au pairs in our church, and their host families want them to be normal. Okay? But you know that normal is very relative. Now, so normal to them is to go to a fascia, that's a party, or a nice get-together place, or either on the street or near a shop, and then you drink, and that's normal to go 2 to 3 times many, well, for the au pairs. Their house parents think that's normal. And we had one who was also... I don't know if advance is the right word, but shared with her that, she can go and she can sleep over and with men, and it was cool as long as you're normal. And then she wanted to come more to church. And then they said, no. This is not good for you. This is not normal. And then I was so cross. And I prayed and we prayed and she wanted to be baptized and they just said, no, it's not good for you to be baptized. And we were blocked, and then you think, oh, you're in a country where it's free, religion free. But beware if you're not normal. So you must fall into... So we really must focus on a godly culture. And we even had an inspection at home of the Au Pair Society to see how normal we are. So, please, guys, stay normal. That was verse 11. Then in Zechariah 3, verse 5, and I, Zechariah, said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with rich garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. What happened here is Joshua... he saw a vision of Joshua in heaven, and the enemy, Satan, accused him. This guy is filthy. Lord, this guy will not do it. And then God rebuked Satan, and he said, put new clothes on Joshua. What it means is Joshua was part of the tribe that went into exile. So they left God. They missed God. They were not for nothing going to in exile. So he had that sin or iniquity. Iniquity is inherited sin. He had that on him, and Satan knew that. So he said, he is unclean. And then God comes and washes him clean and puts on new clothes. And this is what God wants to do with us. He wants to clean us. We struggle. We miss it. We are stubborn, and we think we do it right. And what I've realized the last few years, for me it feels many years, but my own thinking is often not in line with God's thinking. My thinking is earthly. I think A, then God says B, then I go back to God and say, no, God, I don't think so. I think A is better. Can't you see this and this? Then God says, I said B. Or the other way around. And I choose to be obedient, not because it makes sense to me. But at the end, it is the best. God can see the full picture. We can see only here. So just start trusting him. Even if it doesn't make sense to you. He didn't ask you that you will understand it. He didn't ask, you may do this if you understand. He just says this. So when God leads you step by step, you just say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. I have no clue what's going on, but yes, we will do this. And it will be blessed at the end. There is fruit after all. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Your shortcut would have perhaps brought more fruit immediately, but then it will die. His choices is always better. And what happens with a clean turban, once someone shared with me that is part of the renewing of our minds. So God washes our clean, but our minds is the troublemakers. We often think, feel, and will not in God's will. So please, don't feel so much. Make sure that it's a godly. Because our feelings are often not right. Okay? If your feeling is not in line with God's word, with God's heart, with what God is, with who God is, and that's why we need to study the word. If you understand, especially, the Old Testament really reveals to us what is God's heart, what does he like, what not. And then in the New Testament, Jesus lived it, which is really an easy tip to get. But our emotions, just keep them. Not to be unemotional. That's not. But often I feel in charismatic churches we say, oh, but I feel, man, just go and make sure, is this feeling from God or not? Because often we will feel our way through. Okay, that's enough of that. So our minds, God reminds me of Caroline Leaf. She is a neuroscientist. She's very clever, according to me. And she's a Christian. And she has lots of stuff on YouTube. It is amazing the way that she describes what happens in our brains with the renewing of our minds. And then we will start to understand why we must be much more persistent in it. Why we must take control of our mind. You cannot just say, oh, but I thought this. Where does this thought come from? Okay, so Caroline Leaf is a good one to watch every now and then. Okay, so that is the renewing of the mind. And God will help us in this. It's a blessing from him. And then in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts. You must really listen. Yeah, this is the if and the then and the give. Eh? If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, okay, then you shall rule my house. Okay, you will rule and have charge of my courts. So when will you rule and when will you have charge? Only when you walk in God's ways and keep his charge. So if you do not rule in his house, just go back to your track record. Where did you miss it? Where did you not repent? That kind of humbleness and repentance. Guys, without that we cannot even start because we miss it so often. And then he says, and watch this blessing. And I will give you access. And that was to my presence and places to walk among these men who stand here. He says to Zechariah, I will give you access actually to the heavenlies, where we say we enter into your courts with praise and worship. This is a promise. This is a promise. You will enter into his courts. These were the people that was walking there with Joshua in heaven, and he said, you will. And you will have this authority. It is beautiful. It's such a promise that God gives here. And also for us, we must walk in his ways and keep his charge. Then you are able to rule. If you do not walk in his ways, you will rule soulish. You will rule with your own thinking and understanding. And I can tell you, I miss it. And I don't know, perhaps if you are very cool or very holy. But, our own thinking is so confused with wrong thinking. And the renewing of a mind helps us. You grow. And it gets easier. The first few months is tough. You really need to fight and stand. But then it grows. And later on, you think, I just did this right. It wasn't. It's in God's will. It really is a process, but keep on. It's worthwhile. And the cool thing of this is, we will never arrive. So it will never be boring. It will always be exciting. And as you've conquered something or you passed the test, man, it is such a good feeling. Lord, we did it. And there's a scripture, I think it's in James, where Jesus says, he is with triumphant joy. He comes with us in front of the Father and says, we've done it. Actually, Jesus did everything, but he took us with. And he says, see, here we are. It is as if we run a race with our little ones. And we said, yes, come on, let's do it. Go, go. And then when at the end we are there, and there's, say for instance, a prize. Yes, we've done it. But actually the little one didn't do a lot, but you know, she participated. Nah. So participate. Participate with God. He wants to display with triumphant joy us before God and said, here's another one. Here's another one. We did it. We did it. We made it, God. So what is also beautiful here is the angel speaks this to... The angel here speaks in verse 7 to Joshua, to the high priest. So what was a high priest's duty? He needed to intercede on behalf. First, he needed to cleanse himself, repent of his own sins and get that out of the way. And then on behalf of the nation, he could come. And then this is a tip for the intercessors, but we are all intercessors. It's not just a group. We all pray. And he says this to Joshua. And God says, this is for us. We must intercede. We must repent. And then we will have these promises. When we do this. So as he spoke to him as a high priest in that area. The next one is that picture. Heinrich didn't want to show a picture. I don't think any one of us really know how it looks like. I also don't know. People tried. There's different tries on the internet. But this is the... I nearly want to say chandelier, but this is the lampstand with the seven... Okay, just keep it... I'll hold it on this picture, and then I'll read the scripture again that we heard this morning. What do you see? And I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold. So that means it's precious, no? With its bowls for oil on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side, and the bowl of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it, feeding it continuously with oil. We heard that this morning also. So, in the left picture, later in the last few verses, it says that these trees symbolizes Joshua and Zerubbabel. Joshua, the priest, the intercessor. On behalf of, and then Zerubbabel as a king, reigning as a king. And we'll get to that, but I want to just give it a little away and say this is the whole trick. If there's a priestly and a kingly, the priest, when we repent and we intercede with God and we hear his voice and then we can reign as kings. But if you haven't heard from God, you cannot reign. Not in God's kingdom. You cannot reign. So then we will get it wrong. So if you are doing things that you didn't hear from God, I'm speaking now for the church, perhaps in our own personal lives as well, but if you do not make sure that you tapped into that oil, because God says it will be continuous. It's not going to stop. We don't need to fear that it will dry up. It will not dry up. It's a promise. then we will reign. Okay? So it's not, oh, I will reign and I will declare and I will do whatever sounds godly. It's not then perhaps the right season. It's not perhaps the right words. It's not, make sure that it's from God. Okay, so you watch this beautiful picture now, and I think they tried to put in those trees people. It's not the tree man, eh? Okay, so it's godly things. And then verse 6. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. And we, Heinrich, spoke on that this morning. And I just want to say, without God, we will go nowhere. Okay, we can close down, then this is not God's church. Then it's our own church. And not by might, not by power. Yes, we must sometimes persist. We must stand strong. We must stand in faith. You must declare about what God said. Okay? So, and his spirit is there. It is available. God says there will be plenty of that. So continuously, guys, what do we have continuously? I just know we have to go to the shop every week to get our food. Continuously we need to go and buy food. It stops, it ends. But this will never end. And it's for free. There's no levies on it. There's no tax on it. There's no, whoa, I used my, what is the things on the phone? My data. I used my data now, or I get these announcements here in Britain. Oh, you're halfway your data or whatever. You know, God never says that. Never. There's plenty of him. And please don't look to someone else for this. God wants to give it to you personally. He is into us individually and corporately. And we need one another. That's why I love intercession. When we have intercession, A gets something. And then we think, ooh. Then B gets something. Then you think, And then C gets something. Okay, it starts to make sense. And then D. And then you realize, But if there was only A, you would miss the big picture. We need one another. And you cannot envy another's gift. You cannot envy someone else. God chose that person to be a blessing in that special way. So you must celebrate that person because he adds to you. No? And you add to him. And I think if when we realize that love in between us is so much easier. Because you see one another as an asset. No? And sometimes because of pain and hurt and the enemy that whacks us and that's out there because he is always there on earth, unfortunately, sometimes we are a little crippled. And sometimes you cannot be the true blessing you need to be. Sometimes you struggle. But then your buddies need to be there for you and not so, whoa, you definitely missed it today. No. Help that person. Guide him. Say, yo, I see you struggle. Or, well, perhaps that's also offensive. Just say, just go and pray in your own room then for this person. Just be kind, okay? And Romans 8. I have this discussion with God, and when you have more clarity and I can confirm this with God, I would be glad. But Romans 8 says, without the Spirit, you are neither son nor daughter of God. So if you're religious, you do not have the Spirit. And I speak here to people that I assume has the Spirit. And if you don't have, please come to the front at the end that we can pray for you. It's for free. You just ask, and God so faithfully gives. But you must ask for it. And that I also didn't realize when I was still in a religious church. But Romans 8 is very clear about this. If you do not have the Spirit, it says, we must be led by the Spirit. Plans revealed through the Holy Spirit does not make sense to carnal people because they do not have the Spirit whom guides them. And I could see it, and it brings a lot of pain, but I could see it when we had to immigrate to the Netherlands, that even close a family, they are religious, so they most of them do not have the Spirit, and I pray and thank you, Lord, they will have the Spirit before they die. And they couldn't understand what we are doing because we're supposed to retire soon, and now we pack up everything and we leave it there. Actually, we didn't pack it up. We just left it, and we took our bags, our two bags, and we went to the Netherlands because that's what God said. It doesn't make sense to a normal person. It didn't even make sense to me. But I know God said it. We had so many confirmations of between us personally and two intercession teams. There was no confusion. This was God's word. And that sustains you as well when you think like that 17-year planting thing of the temple. That makes you, yes, I did hear right. There was many people. There are lots of confirmations. I've written it down. And sometimes I read through it again. But it doesn't make sense to carnal people. So the normal to us spirit-filled people is not the normal to the world. So just be okay to be abnormal. It is fine. Don't be intimidated. Bless them. Try to explain. If they cannot understand, pray for them. Not in front of them, in your room. Okay? Minus Zechariah 4 verse 7. For who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles? Before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking the rebuilding of the temple before him. You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people, crying grace, grace to it. Heinrich already spoke about this. You know, there were many mountains and there's still many mountains if I look carnal, if I look soulish. But to God it's nothing. It's really nothing. So if you choose to stay with him, well, you know, that triumphant joy that Jesus has when he enters into heaven and comes to his Father and says, yes, it's another one. We made it. Just stay close to him. Just stay close to him. He will cut that out of the way. It will sink. We sing often, and the mountains will sink into the seas. It's actually also your problems, your giants. Don't look to them. Look to the solution. Because the solution is much bigger than this humongous mountain in front of you. Okay? So, But Heinrich also shared about this. And the promise here is that Zerubbabel, if I'm right here, yes, Zerubbabel shall finish this. And to me, I felt God is saying that we will also finish what we need to do. In Ephesians, God says he has worked out jobs for us, no? What we must do every day. Do you know what you must do every day? Do you know what you must do in a week? Do you know what you must do this year? No, because you didn't phone God. No, we need to hear from him. Because then you're sure. Then you know, oh, I must go. Then someone can come and say, whoa, what are you doing? Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, but this is what I heard from God, so here I go. We will finish what God wants us to finish. It's not that the church will end then. We are part of building God's church, and he has a job for all of us, and we must plug into that and see What stone must I put in? Where am I the wheelbarrow? Am I the communicator guy? Am I the guy that oversees? Am I the person that can do beautiful craft? There was beautiful crafts in the temple. Ask God. He will share with you. He has placed so many gifts in you. Not for yourself, for His kingdom, for us. So don't be stingy, because then I'm not blessed. So we must bless each other with the gifts we have. So if you're good with admin, don't stand in your corner and say, I don't do anything. Do the admin. If you love decorating, do it with passion and enjoy it. I don't have that gift. So I adore it. It's the same. I always say, when Mark and Yolande worship, I love worship, but my voice is a little different. So I'm so glad Yolande stays in tune while I'm singing out loud. But you know, they are a blessing because they give their blessing. So we are going to find out tonight, what is the blessings you have? What is the jobs God wants to give to you? So that you can bring them and that we can build this temple. Zerubbabel didn't build it on his own. No. He had buddies that helped him. Yeah, suddenly this comes up in me and I feel to say that if your season is taking care of babies and kiddies, you need to do that. Don't feel, I'm not worthy, I can't do anything. You are super worthy. It's the best job that there is. And it's so precious. It's a little gift from God that, well, it's not little, it's humongous. And you have the privilege of, it's like having, being the privilege being in a church of God. You're a privilege to have this baby and to bring it up and to guide it. Sometimes I think God was irresponsible to give us that responsibility because we mess it up. And I think, Lord, how do you want us to reign on this earth? We are so stupid. How could you ever think that we could do this? But we can. With Him, we can. We must just tap into Him. So we'll finish what we need to do. So you don't want to die and think, there were still 20 things I needed to do. You will be finished. Now, every one of us will be finished with the job we needed to do here. We will not miss it out. Okay. Verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Then you shall know. Here it comes again. Recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me His messenger to you. So, this is beautiful. Okay. We're nearly there. You're doing well. Verse 10. Who with reason despise the day of small things? For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know, we have had sermons of plumb line. It is wonderful. It is to get into line. No. If you build, as Darkan said and Henry said and Hercules, if you build skew, I see it with our little granddaughter. When you have these Duplo blocks and you build skew, it doesn't go very high, then it falls over. It's just how it works. We need to build in God's plumb line. Where does God want us to build? You can have a super cool temple somewhere. I don't know why I use the word temple. I think it's like an idol that God wants to say. We can have super cool idols and have built beautifully around it. But if it's not from God, it's useless. Yeah? We need to come in line, in this line and in this vertical line. So, and the beauty is, as soon as God sees you want to come back into the plumb line, He rejoices. Da da da. Have you seen that one? Have you seen? He's coming back into the plumb line. Have you seen? He's breaking off the old rubbish that he built on his own. He rejoices. It is beautiful. Do we rejoice when we come back? No, we sulk often. Because, oh, we did not do this so well. You know, we will rejoice when we conquer what God has said to us. It is beautiful. Okay. Verse 14. Then said he. This is now, again, Zerubbabel says, who is these two trees? Who are those two trees? What is they? What do they do? Yes, they give oil, but what do they resemble? And I just want to confirm what Heinrich said this morning. Push in. If you do not understand, push in. Ask again. I had to ask God many times for this sermon. I said, I do not know what you want me to share about this. Yes, I have all these visions, but what? So what about it? He will. But he want to see if you really want to. If you want it, I love marshmallows, and it's always close to me, and it's in my cupboard. So it's not a lot of effort to get it. No. So you just open the door and get some, and then you walk, and then when Darkan passes by, he says, what do you eat? And then I go back and get him also one. But that's not a lot of effort. It's much more effort to hear God's voice. You know, if you think there's anyone that hears God's voice clearly every day, the whole day, I don't know. I do not. I really have to sit and push in. I really have to say, bind everything of myself, that it will not distract me, that I can focus. Because if I'm hungry or thirsty, I struggle. So I see that all the stuff is there. So that I can focus on God, because I do not want to be disrupted. Because God is just starting to share to you, then suddenly you feel, whoa, I'm very hungry. You know, the enemy does that to you. Because he doesn't want you to hear God's voice. But you need to push him. God doesn't reveal himself to a bypasser, if I can say that. He really wants to know, are you into him? Are you his child? Do you really want to hear from him, have his love, walk in his ways? And often it's difficult decisions, difficult carnal decisions, let me say it that way. Because there's so many things on earth that distract us. And sadly enough, the enemy is super successful with distracting us, with telling us, oh, but you need to be normal, you need to do this, you need to have that, you need to so and so. When we moved to the Netherlands, I never thought that I'm very sentimental about furniture and stuff that I have. And then when God said you will leave everything in South Africa, it's not yours anymore, and I sulked a little for 2 months or so. I said, Lord, we are 33 years married. We were then 33 married. Yo, we actually had a few things that was precious to me. And now you want me to just let it go? Yes, he says, I want you. And then we came in the Netherlands, and people, it was through Anya and Robert. We received the house furnished in that way. They gave us furniture, which they collected or gathered at different places. And I had to learn that someone else's beauty, someone else liked that chair, someone else loved that table, someone else loved that couch, and that I will also see that it has beauty, although it was not necessarily all my taste. It's not about what is your taste always. No, the chairs do sit well. It does fit together, even though it comes from four places. And you learn to love it because it's precious, because God gave it to you. You don't need to have your own stamp always on everything. It must be a God stamp. And sometimes it's hard to learn that. I'm glad I'm in this season of my life, because if I would have been younger, I would have wanted it to decorate it according to my style, that everyone can see how awesome is my style. And now I don't have to. I can just say, well, this is what we received and we enjoy it and it is okay. I don't say that you may not make your places nice. Please, God gave you also that talent and to make it homey and lovely for people to be there. Okay, so verse 14. Yes, he rejoiced. Did I read verse 14? Yes. Okay, these are the two sons of oil, Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah. So the prince was supposed to be a king, hey? The two anointed ones. I'm going to read it again. These are the two trees, are the two sons of oil, Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah. The two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. And I want us to grasp this. This, when I clicked this, I was so glad. It's all also repeated in Revelations, also what Heinrich said, but these are the instruments. God shared with me, these are the instruments, the priestly of Joshua and the kingly of Zerubbabel. This is how we're supposed to run his church. Okay? Through the priestly and the kingly. And then it says, as anointed instruments. This is the instruments that God is giving us to do his church on earth. We need to have a priestly part and we need to have a kingly part. If you just sit with God and hear the whole day what he's saying and doing and whatever, it's nice for you. But if you don't reign with it, because the king reigns, the king declares, the king says, he speaks. Now, but he can only speak what is heard from God. The priestly part is the intercessing, is the saying sorry, is the repentance part. And that's also when we went to Utrecht, God shared with me, you need to study the history of Utrecht. You need to know what is the spiritual maps in Utrecht. What happened on the earth? Because that is the spirits that's hanging around there. No, it's like when Abel was killed, the blood called out. It happened on the earth. So innocent blood always calls out, like abortions, like murder, like wars. So we need to restore it. We need to get those war demons away. We need to get those Molech is the abortions, the killing of people, the blood. We need to cancel that. But we need to hear from God, okay, when and where would you like to do it? And it's so exciting. It is so cool. God told us many things already in Utrecht, and it is an effort to study your history. It is an effort to know what happened in this town. But through that, you can declare, through because you've repented of the sins, and you can declare, and then the spiritual atmosphere changes. Okay, so then people will walk in your town and they will feel, yeah, this is a nice place, I also want to live here. No? Because the atmosphere is so cool, because God is residing there, because he's welcome. But we as a church need to do that. You know, the other people do not know, they do not have the spirit, they cannot do it. So don't accuse and say, oh, but we are so few and they must also do it. No, God chose us. And not only us, there's other churches also. But we need to start doing this thing. These anointed instruments we need to take. The priestly and the kingly. I want to ask any questions. But I won't. I hope. I trust God that this will get into us and that we will understand this and that this is the principle that God wants to give us. Because in the beginning he said, He will be the fire around us. His presence will be in us. When we walk in His ways, when we do His will, when we hear from Him, then He will. Then His church will happen. Then this bride will start to be without wrinkle and blemish, because He gives us strategy, and we just say yes. We will do this. We will go. We will do that. But in that, when we do that, you die to yourself. Now you must understand that in this job, it's not about you. Yes, it's about your blessings that you need to share with each other. But it's not how cool I can look and how your own idols, your own things that's very precious to you. That's not always so important to God. He will take care of you. You will eat. You will have enough. But it's not about building monuments for people after you so that they will remember you. You have been on earth. It's unfortunately not like that. So, but we must do what God wants us to do. He created us. He loves us. He's singing about us. He wants to say, have you seen that one? Have you seen that one? Oh, look at that church. They're getting it right this time. It is, that has eternal value. And we need to focus in the eternal value things. Okay. The next slide is a crown and a letter. God, when I wrestled with this, He first gave me a letter. He spoke to me through a letter, and He said to me, I must read this letter for all of us. So it's in the first person. It is how God spoke with me. And I would like you to take out your little notebooks, if you still have one. There's some pauses in between. It's between you and God. And I trust God. He said He's going to speak to every one of you tonight. And I trust Him for what He's going to bring. And I'm excited to hear later on. I don't know how this feedback will work. But I'm first going to read this letter. Close your eyes. And then later on I'll ask you to write down a few things. Yes, thank you, Lord. What crown are you wearing? A crown is a symbol of your identity. So what is on your head? What is your identity? Who sits at the steering wheel of your car? I am the king. I wear a crown. Do you acknowledge me? Do you recognize me? Do you believe in me? Do you submit to me? In your belief, in your thoughts, in your joy, in your pain, in your strive? What are you striving for, aspiring to be, to become? You know, I have, yes, still have so many plans for you. Do you know what they are? One or two of them? I have many plans for you. I am so excited about these plans. Yes, you are able to know what they are. Each one for each and every season. No, there is no confusion. It is clear. And yes, you are able to succeed in them. These are blessings to the world, but always it will be a blessing for you personally. Some are more challenging, but you know, I have made you. I knitted you fearfully and wonderfully together. I know exactly who you are and what you are capable of doing and being and growing to. I want to be your identity. Would you mind? How do you feel about it? Scared? Anxious? Hesitant? A feeling of no, no? this is not what I want. I am on fire for you. Are you on fire for me? What lies between us? What blocks this? I know, my child. I want you to see it as well. Search a little deeper. Fear of the unknown? Yes, you do not know me, so you are a little or a lot scared. Rebellion makes you not even want to know me. You know, Satan knew me well, and he rebelled against me because of pride. Are you struggling with this? Pride and rebellion? They are not from me. Careful with them. They will not be helpful at the end. What are the things that are blocking you to know me better? To know my plans for you? I am now revealing them to you. Listen to your heart. That small, soft voice. What does it say? Oh, how I love you. Come closer. I see those things that make it so hard for you to come closer to me. Can you let go of them? All the reasonings, the arguments, the feelings. Tell me, what are they? Yes, I know them. But are you prepared to share it with me? Come, it is safe. I love you. Tell me. Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes, I know. And the one you hide, even sometimes from yourself? Don't hide now. You are doing so well. Yes, I know. Dare to tell me. Oh, how I love you, my child. You are so close to my heart. Today is a victory for us. Woo! We celebrate you and me together with everyone today around you. You know, one of my plans for you is Zechariah 2 verse 5. The new Jerusalem, the place where you will live with all the other saved people. My glory will always be in your midst. My fire around the city will be like a wall, a huge protection. I expect holiness. Zechariah 3 verse 5. Put a clean turban on his head, a renewing of mind. I want to help you to renew your mind. This is also one of the plans I have for you. You need to think, feel, do as Jesus when you are following him. Zechariah 3 verse 7. If you walk in my ways and keep my court, my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these who stand here in the heavenly council. This is also one of my plans for you. If you walk in my ways, you shall rule my house, the church. Take charge, and I give you access to my presence. I will not be distant. You will know the plans I have for you and for my church. You know, my child, this will happen not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The ceaseless provision of oil from the trees symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Endless provision to you and to my church, of whom you are part. Oh, how I love my church, precious ones indeed. My eyes go all over the earth. Zechariah 4 verse 10, to see what is happening and rejoice whenever I see my church being built and taking the plumb line up. I love my church. I love my people. I have so many good plans. Come to me. Enjoy my presence. Hear my plans through the unending provision of the Holy Spirit. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. If you can put the last slide on. I feel God said to me that He will give to you plans for you personally, for your church, and for the corporate, for bigger church movements, for say for Europe or for Holzhofer or whatever. So write them down. Pray and write down what God shares with you personally, corporately, as His church. We will give you time now. Just sit. Stay in and you will put on the music, please. Give you a few minutes more. Thank you, Father. I know there's many more plans, Father, that you want to reveal to us. I pray that everyone will come and sit with you after this session, after this week, and just stay plugged in, Lord. Thank you for the plans that you did reveal, Father. Thank you that we will take it seriously, Lord, because we ask what is on your heart, and if we ignore it, then we do not respect even your opinion. And we do respect your opinion. We want to obey. We want to do what you shared with us. So thank you, Lord. Help us to stay on track. Help us to want to do this, even though it's perhaps not comfortable always. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep your notes, what God has revealed. I don't know if there will be feedback, not for your personal things, but perhaps if you received any corporate things from God, that if I don't know if you can hand it in with your leaders, that we can look at it and pray through it and adjust our strategy. So please don't keep it for yourself. But your personal things is for yourself. Amen.